6. We're going to finish this up today, God willing. I know we've been studying this psalm for a few weeks. I took a break last week, but today we're going to finish it up. If you would, we'll go ahead and read the whole psalm. Verse 1, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for He cometh. For He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. Today we're going to finish up and look at verses 10 through 12, the idea being that it says, the Lord reigneth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Now, if you review the psalm, so far He has instructed us our mission in this world, those who are saved by the grace of God, we are to sing of the glories of the Lord. We are to declare His glory through gospel preaching, through public worship, through the application of the Word of God in our lives. And we are also to give unto the Lord. We are responsible to give of our time, our resources, our money, our life. We are to be dedicated, and it ought to show by the way we live our lives. We're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. But we are also to say that among the heathen, that the Lord reigneth. And again, I was once a heathen. I had no knowledge of God. I was dead in trespass and sin. My eyes were blinded to the truth. My understanding, I had no understanding of the grace of God or the glory of Christ or the power of His death, burial, and resurrection. But God changed all that when He intervened and when He saved my soul. And if He saved you, then you need to declare your loyalty, your allegiance, your fidelity to the Lord God Almighty. And we are to declare by our life, by our words, that God reigneth. The Lord reigneth. The everlasting God is the one and only sovereign ruler in this universe that in the grand scheme of things truly matters. His rule matters. The Lord reigneth. He's in control. He's in control of all things. He has determined all things. There's not any accidents with God. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. He even channels the depravity and the sinful actions of men to bring about His will. You saw that in the death of Jesus Christ. As an omniscient king, our God sees everything. He sees the righteous who have trusted in Him, who are serving Him, who are worshiping Him. But He also sees the wicked. He sees every business day where an abortion doctor kills another baby in a mother's womb. God sees that. That innocent blood will be required at His hand. God will judge. He's righteous. He's holy. Say, well, that's our law in America. You can do that. It's not according to the law of God. And God will judge. He sees all of the immorality, all of the injustice, all of the deception, all of the wickedness of men. And God will judge righteously. And men must bow to the sovereign pleasure of Almighty God because they are accountable to the One who reigns over all. Men are responsible to the God who reigns, the God who commands, the sovereign lawgiver. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. Now, to be quite honest with you, not many people are saying anything about the Lord these days. Very seldom do you ever hear the name of God used in public in a good sense, in a righteous sense. Most of the time, if you hear anything about God, people are using His name in vain. They are disparaging His Word, His truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though a majority of the world does not regard God as the Almighty and the Sovereign, it does not diminish His glory or His excellency one bit. Daniel said, well, the prophet is recorded in the prophecy of Daniel. After Nebuchadnezzar came to his senses, that heathen king said this, "And at the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou?" God is the Almighty. His will is accomplished. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. We live in a day when men are more worried about offending one another than they are than offending God. In fact, this is the cry of so many people today. No matter what you say, I'm offended, I'm offended, I'm offended. Over the silliest of things. People are getting offended over chicken sandwiches and Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben. It's ridiculous. Especially when you know the backstories of Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben. That's certainly something to be treasured. These are people that rose above their circumstances and made something of themselves. We ought not be offended at that. But I tell you, we live in a day where people don't care at all to offend God Almighty. They don't blush at all in railing against God and His Word. He reigns. He reigned in the day of Noah. You'll remember that in the days of Noah, that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great, and that the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And God sovereignly determined to destroy the world by a flood to bring judgment upon the ungodly. Do you realize that the overwhelming majority of the population of that day were complete heathens? They had no knowledge of God. They went about their everyday life as though everything that they were going to live forever. They lived like they had no accountability to God. Even though there was a man building a boat warning them that judgment's coming. And they wouldn't heed. And only 8 souls were saved. So, oh, come on, preacher. You really believe that Noah built an ark? You believe God sent a worldwide flood? It's in the book. It's in God's Word. You say, well, the scientists don't believe that. They're wrong. The Harvard professors don't believe that. They're reprobates. They deny the truth. God's right. Let God be true and every man a liar. The flood of Noah shows you. Every time you go out and you find a fossil, it ought to remind you God judges sin. You are accountable for disobedience, for defying God's government and His laws. He is a God of love in Jesus Christ. And it's to me, it's amazing that God would save anybody as wicked as men are. And that God would tell His people, I want you to go and sing about the glory of God. I want you to declare the gospel of the grace of God. Go into all the world. Preach that Jesus died for sinners, was buried, and rose again, and that He's the way of grace and forgiveness. God has made a way of escape of the judgments that's coming. Men are accountable to the One who reigns and rules. But make no mistake about it. God is not like earthly judges. He doesn't overlook. He doesn't take bribes. He doesn't make judgments based on political polls. the judge of all the earth, does right. And I believe He's coming again. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ, the very last words in the Bible that Jesus Christ uttered was, "Behold, I come quickly." And it said it will be a lot like the coming of the Son of Man will be a lot like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. I believe that Jesus is coming again. And that He will come, first of all, to take out His people. And I believe there will be a time on the earth like unlike any other time, when the wrath of God is systematically poured out from on high and judgments will happen in the earth during the tribulation. Then I believe that Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven, the One who reigns in heaven, is coming back again to the earth to rule and reign for 1,000 years and then even on into the eternal ages. Do you really believe that? It's in the Bible. It's in God's Word. We're to declare that, to say among the heathen, "The Lord reigneth." One day the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. When He comes again to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And all earthly kings and human governments will be completely dissolved. They will be smashed. And King Jesus shall reign in absolute righteousness, holiness, power, and glory. Something that's never, ever happened among the governments of men is going to happen on this earth. And I long for that glad millennial day when Jesus will reign and kings will bow and people will worship and praise and honor the Most High God from sea to shining sea. Earthly governments, no matter how good they may be, they are flawed, they are defiled, they are corrupted, they often cause confusion. But not so with the reign of King Jesus. His reign will be secure. "Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, and it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously." He'll be the one true king, who has no guile, no deceit, no bribery. Jesus Christ, the Holy One, will rule and reign over all the earth. And everyone will gladly bow before Him and say, "Jesus Christ is Lord," to the glory of God the Father. John MacArthur said this, "Instead of the continuance of international chaos in human history, the world will be efficiently managed by the Messiah in the millennial kingdom." Can you imagine a day where there is no injustice? When there is spirituality and love and mercy and compassion and grace ruling the day. You don't see that in the governments of men. But you do see it in the reign of Jesus Christ. He'll judge the people righteously. Let's face it, politicians do, they do what they do in their own self-interest. In democracies, they do what they do to get elected. They often, much of the time, everything they do is motivated by money. Not so with King Jesus. He can't be bribed. He doesn't have to worry about re-election. Because He's the King of all ages. He's absolutely righteous and pure and holy and undefiled. And I long for the day when He reigns, when He rules upon this earth. I am so glad. Even though I'm not worthy to be part of that kingdom, He's made me worthy by His shed blood and resurrection. Now in verses 11 and 12, you'll notice that all of heaven will rejoice at the reign of King Jesus on the earth. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. In part, the curse is going to be lifted on the earth. It's going to be a glorious time. Really, it's beyond me to think about the millennial glory of Christ. But He's coming. Spurgeon said, "Society is safe where God is king. No revolution shall convulse His empire. No invasion shall disturb His kingdom. A settled government is essential to national prosperity. The reign of the God of truth and righteousness will promote this to the highest degree. Sin has shaken the world. The reign of Jesus will set it fast again on sure foundations." Say, when is this going to happen? Well, He's going to come in His glory back to the earth. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25. It tells you exactly when it's going to happen. When He's coming back to rule and to reign, and what's going to take place on the earth when He does come. And notice the time words in these verses. Verse 31. When. That's a time word. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then, there's another time word. This will be the precise timing. Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. The throne of Christ's glory is on the earth. He's been promised as the King out of the line, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that He would reign upon the throne of David. Then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And notice what's going to happen. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. Again, this doesn't take place in heaven. This takes place on earth. That's where the nations are. And He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, now these are survivors of the tribulation period who are saved, who will enter into the 1,000-year reign in their natural bodies. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This kingdom was prepared and determined before the world was. And He's telling them, you're going to enter into it. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king said, and the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, that's interesting. This passage calls Jesus the king. And the king, who's sitting on the throne of his glory, shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, these are the goats, these are the reprobate, these are the unbelievers, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Notice, Jesus believed in everlasting torment and condemnation for unbelievers. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Verse 46 says, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What I just read for you is the judgment of the nations. It will occur on the earth at the second advent of Jesus Christ. It's described another way in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's John 1:1. That's Jesus Christ, the one who communicates the glory, the righteousness, the salvation of God. And the armies which were in heaven. Notice that. There's going to be armies coming back with him to rule and reign on the earth. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress and the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming to rule and to reign. He's coming to judge. I believe that at the beginning of his millennial reign, the result of the judgment of the nations, he will purge from earth all the wicked, all the unbelievers. I just read this again in my devotion, but turn over to Proverbs chapter 2. It's a promise. One of the rare prophetic promises in the book of Proverbs. It says in Proverbs chapter 2, in verse 21, For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and transgressors shall be rooted out of it. That's a description of what's going to happen according to Matthew 25. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 30. It says, the righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. God's going to purge them. Chapter 11 and verse 32. Well, there's no 32 verses in chapter 11. So let's go with 31. Oh, you know, you take too much delight in when the preacher makes a mistake. There's something wrong with you, you sinners. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. Now, look at this. Psalm 37 and verse 34. God's going to purge, He's going to judge the wicked when He comes again to the earth. Psalm 37, look at verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. All the armies of heaven will witness this when God judges the wicked at the second advent and at the judgment of the nations. Look at verse 22, the same psalm. For such as be blessed of Him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of Him shall be cut off. Psalm 101 in verse 8, I just read this today. I've never seen it in this context before. Psalm 101 verse 8, I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. The Lord's coming again. He's going to reign in righteousness. And all of heaven will rejoice during the reign of King Jesus on the earth. All the glad millennial prophecies and promises will come to fruition. All of creation will sing glad praises to the King, the rightful heir who will come in glory and in absolute righteousness. You say, when is all this going to happen? Soon. How do you know it's going to be soon? Because Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. That's the last words He spoke. Behold, I come quickly. John's response was, even so come, Lord Jesus. You see, Psalm 96 is a mission psalm that will ultimately be a millennial psalm when He comes to rule and to reign. He comes to judge the earth. He'll judge the world with righteousness and His people with His truth. It's going to be a lot different than the way things are right now. Even as I'm speaking right now, I'm sure some baby has been aborted somewhere. I'm sure a woman has been raped. I'm sure someone has killed somebody else in anger. I'm going to tell you something. They will be held accountable for it, all of it. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God will reign in righteousness. I believe that He's coming soon. And I believe that Jesus is going to take me to heaven, not because I'm worthy of it, but because He promised in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He promised in John chapter 14. And do you know when the saints of God are taken to heaven before the tribulation and they're in heaven? Do you know what they're going to be doing? They're going to be worshiping and looking forward to His reign upon the earth. I know that because of what's recorded in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Boy, that is a missions verse. This is why we're to go everywhere preaching the gospel. He's got a people. God has a people in every nation. Has nothing to do with their race, their creeds, their social standing. It has to do with whether or not they are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we're to take the message all over the world. But notice what these folks are doing. They're singing. And notice the content of their song, verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now they're in heaven while they're singing this. But they're looking, and they're glorified. They're looking forward to their reign with Christ on the earth. The Lord reigneth. He is the everlasting King. And one day this earth is going to finally have its ultimate purpose fulfilled when the King reigns in glory upon His throne. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I hope you know Him today. Because if you don't, you'll be among those who are judged for your sins. Turn to Jesus as the only Savior of sinners. Let's all stand.
Page number 1.